Hey, thank you for tuning into the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. In today's episode, you'll learn more about becoming a product designer. That's all coming up after a quick word from our partner for this episode, InterviewCake. InterviewCake is an online resource that helps you prep for interviews so you can land your dream job in tech. To find out more and get 20% off, go to learntocodewith.me/cake. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/cake. You may have noticed that there's only one partner for today's episode, whereas usually there are two. That's because I want to introduce you to a new way to support the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I love creating this show, but it costs a lot in both time and money. It takes around 5 hours to research, record, edit, and produce each episode, sometimes more. Plus, there are costs involved with things like the hosting fees. This is why this show depends on incredible sponsors like Full Stack Academy, Flatiron School, Zojo, and Backblaze. If it weren't for their support, the show simply would not be able to exist. I would really like to keep the podcast going and to involve you, the listener, in the show to ensure that it can continue. With that said, you can now support the Learn to Code with Me podcast yourself via Patreon. By pledging from as little as $3.99 per month, you can support the show to help ensure it's able to continue. That's about the price of a cup of coffee, in New York City at least. With a $3.99 pledge, you'll also get a behind-the-scenes look at upcoming episodes, and you'll have the ability to submit and vote on your own ideas for topics and guests. This is your chance to have a say in the direction of the show. There are a couple more tiers, and each comes with its own rewards. For example, you can get a free copy of my LinkedIn ebook, access to the Learn to Code with Me deal sheet, which is a list of special discounts to courses and services I love, a Learn to Code with Me t-shirt, a shout out on the podcast, and more. If you'd like to support the show and get your hands on some of these goodies, just go to learntocodewith.me/pledge to see all the options. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/pledge, and that'll take you right to the Patreon page. As I said in last week's episode, I really appreciate all of your support. The show wouldn't exist if it weren't for you, and I hope you'll consider pledging your support to keep the show going long into the future. I'm also really excited when I think about the ways that we can grow and expand the Patreon options well into the future. I just love the idea of building a community there. All right, let's get into this week's guest, Lenora Porter. Without a technical background, Lenora hustled her way into tech and redefined what it means to be an artist in the world of technology. During the day, she's translating business requirements into beautiful app design at Heroku as a senior product designer. By night, Lenora is inspiring others through her Instagram tutorials and local meetups. We chat about her career journey, transitioning into design after attending a coding bootcamp, how she landed her first design job, what product design actually entails, and so much more. Lenora shares tons of helpful and inspiring information. I think you're going to love this interview. So let's get into it. Enjoy. Hey, Lenora, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to talk with you today. UI and UX design is a topic that I get asked about all the time, and it's not something that I've covered a whole lot. So I'm really excited to dive in. But first, I would love if you could share with the audience more about your background before getting into technology.
Okay. So before getting to technology, I was a teacher. I taught math at a school called Miami Carroll City Senior High. It was awesome. That was one of my main things I really wanted to do. I wanted to spend a year giving back to my community. So I decided, well, what's the best way to give back, you know, directly and not indirectly. And I thought being a teacher would be the perfect way. So I signed up for this organization called City Year, and I did a full year teaching inner city youth about math and Algebra 1 and how to mix that with coding and all that kind of stuff. So I was a teacher before this, and then I transitioned on right after that year of being the teacher into tech.
Got it. So it's funny because you're the second person we had on in season 5 who was a math teacher before getting into tech. How old were the kids that you were teaching?
So they were in ninth grade, and most of them were between like 14, and then some were like 17, because they stayed back or different things happened in their life that kind of caused friction. So honestly, it was the most amazing thing ever. Last year, my students graduated, so I went to their graduation, which was awesome. Just to see them walk across the stage was just kind of like, wow, I've given something to the world, and these are the students that I've given it to. So I thought it was amazing to watch them transition. Even though they've probably already seen me transition into tech, they've kind of been like, oh my God, Miss Porter, you did it. You became this engineer or this designer that you talked about. That's amazing. We just graduated. So it's kind of like win-win both sides. Just to watch that scenario.
So when you were teaching, you knew already that you wanted to work in tech after that.
Oh, yes. I mean, before teaching, I was always into art and design as well, but also into that entire character design and animation. I was really into that. My dad bought my first Nintendo, I think I was about 8 years old. And from there, I just always played video games, always drew the characters. And then one day I decided to play this game called Second Life, which was a virtual life game online. And from that game, you could create your actual character. You could create meshes of clothing. And I started to make the meshes of clothing using Maya Autodesk. And then from there, I realized I had to code portions of it, because as the character moved and walked, the clothing moved with the character. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want my clothing to move like this. So I wanted to do that. And that was all Python code, which I didn't know at the time. So Googling and trying to figure out how to make a better avatar led me into design and coding. And so once I became a teacher, I'm like, I want to go do that, what I used to do when I was a kid. I want to focus again on learning how to code, which wasn't really easy. I tried to do it in college, but I failed so bad. So it didn't really work out for me.
Oh, no. So in college, what did you study then?
So I studied this thing called family, youth, and community sciences. So it's full of psychology, full of human behavior, and how to create services for communities. And after the entire my entire course and learning all that stuff, when I went over to the UX department, I'm kind of like, wow, this is almost the same exact thing that I was doing for communities, but I'm doing it for apps. I'm doing it for users. I'm doing it for technology and not for, I mean, yeah, it's still a community though, just a tech community. So it's funny how different things doesn't seem as though they're in line, but when you start playing with it, is actually in line with one another. So yeah, everything worked out, thank God.
Yeah, no, that is really interesting. I actually thought you studied something else in college, so that surprises me, but I can see how they would be related, especially like the psychology aspect and building communities and working with people. Obviously, that's an important skill, for any job that a person is in. So okay, so just to backtrack, you were always fascinated by like design and art, and you loved video games, and you were experimenting with that when you were younger. When you were in college, you studied, sorry, could you repeat that again? What was the name of the program?
It's called Family, Youth, and Community Sciences.
Family, Youth, and Community Sciences. Got it. Okay. And then after that, you went to teach for a year, and you taught math, and you were working with kids around the age of like 14, give or take. And after that, what was your next step then? You knew you wanted to work in tech. Where'd you go from there?
So that was probably the hardest decision I had to figure out within a year. I didn't know which way to go. I already had a bachelor's degree, and I called and said, hey, I want to get into your computer science program. They let me know, yeah, we don't do second bachelor's here. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't have that option. I only have going to another school. So I was thinking about Georgia Tech because they allow second bachelor's. So I was thinking about doing a computer science degree there. Option two was a coding bootcamp. And option three was learning on my own. I picked option two. So I went to WinCode Academy here in Miami. And I think when code taught full stack development, they taught and focused on Ruby on Rails. My opinion on that experience was, I think because I'm such a visual learner, that it was the wrong way to teach me, like, you know, the way I learned how to code. It was really, I couldn't use anything. I felt like I kind of wasted my money and time doing the coding bootcamp. And then I also felt like once I got out of the bootcamp and tried to get a job, there's no companies here, as there were no Ruby shops, no Ruby on Rails, nothing in that kind of category. Mostly it was kind of like COBOL or very old languages.
Could you just share with us where you are based and where WinCode Academy is?
Yeah, I didn't even say that. So I'm in Miami, Florida. WinCode is here in Miami in the Wynwood district. I'm born and raised here, and I've kind of always been here. Miami is kind of like a tech desert, in a way, where we don't have those big, large corporations like Facebook and things like that. We have more of the older companies, and it goes based on our industry. So our industry is basically healthcare, hospitality, tourism. So you'll find tech there and not so much in like the tech that everyone wants to be a part of, which is like, you know, social media kind of tech and like the hype and the known tech, mainstream tech. We don't have those kind of roles here. So most of our technology is very outdated, very old. So learning Ruby on Rails is just not what I'm supposed to do.
I feel like that's like a really good lesson though people can learn from, like learning, like if you know you want to stay in a certain area, like geographically, like knowing what languages and technologies and whatever the companies there are using so you can get those things and not the wrong thing and make sure you're aligned with the jobs. Because yeah, that's definitely like a really interesting lesson. Like maybe if you were like open to moving to New York or San Francisco, that those skills could have came in handy. But anyway, don't want to veer off too much. So you ended up going through this program, learning Ruby on Rails. Companies aren't hiring for Ruby on Rails. What happened then?
Yeah, so I'm like, oh my goodness, I have this $10,000 loan that I have to pay back, and I don't have a job. During that moment, my mom also had an issue where she almost lost her house. So I'm like, okay, I don't have any more options. I really have to find a back door some kind of way. And I realized that I had to use my personality. I can't just rely on my talent, because clearly I didn't really have that at the time. So I had to just figure out a way to network and get to know more people and let them know that I'm a great person. And from there, I went to a few networking events using meetup.com and Eventbrite. And I would look at the meetup list and see who's coming. And I would Google them. I'm like, okay, so this person's coming. Let me Google them. Let me look at their Twitter. Let me see how I feel about that person and pick up little things about them. So when I see them in person, I can be like, yeah, so I saw this on your Twitter. That's very interesting that you're doing that. Tell me more about that. You know, I wanted talking points because I wasn't too good at networking at the time. So I had to kind of like teach myself how to be vulnerable in a crowd. So from there, I met this guy. His name was Jeff Fudge. And I looked his name up because I thought it was kind of a funny name, Fudge, as the last name. I'm like, wow, that's a weird last name. So from there, I'm like, oh, I'm going to look him up on Twitter and look him up on LinkedIn. And I realized he was a VP of a company called Sato Global Solutions. And I had to find out a way that I could talk to him, basically. So I went to the meetup he was a part of, but everyone was surrounding him. Like, everyone knew him. Everyone was talking to him. I'm like, wow, this guy's popular. I can't get it, you know, in the circle. So what I'll do is I'll go up to him. Hi, my name's Lenora. I'm so glad to see you here. And I'll kind of just back out. Like, well, back off. I wouldn't stay in the crowd. I'll let everyone else talk. And I really relied on Twitter and LinkedIn and email to interact with him rather than trying to interact in person. So around like the third time I saw him, he was kind of like, oh, I remember you from the very first meetup that we met at. How are you? And I'm like, oh my God, he remembers me, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I'm Lenora. I'm just trying to get into the tech industry. And from there, he invited me to come to his office just for an office tour, because I've never seen a tech company before, like the insides of a tech company. So he's like, yeah, come by and I'll show you around. And I went around there and I saw the design department and fell in love. It was just like, wow, this is so awesome. So yeah.
Oh, awesome. So that was going to be my next question was, how did you then get into product design? So was this like the beginning of your... I don't know, design journey. So what happened then? Did you end up like working at this company as a designer, or did a few zigzags happen before that?
Yeah. So, after that initial invite, he invited me to come back for a formal interview. So I came back for the formal interview. He asked me, hey, do you know Photoshop? Do you know these? Do you know that thing? And I just learned full stack development. So of course I don't know that. But I told him I did, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know that. You know, I've been doing that for a while. I've done Photoshop, but not in that kind of way. I was doing Autodesk Maya, not Photoshop. So I basically lied during my interview, which is bad. Don't do that. But I had to learn it fast.
Okay, then you could just go home at night and like do a Linda course on Photoshop, or like a 6-hour Photoshop course.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to learn this right now. So I went to Linda, I went to Udemy, and I learned as much as I could within like the next 2 days. Came back. That was my first day. Monday was my first day there. And he's like, yeah, so start working on this project. These are the first things I want you to do. But he didn't really put me on a project. Like the very first thing that I was doing was learning the systems and learning the product. And I was kind of being that person when a customer will come in, I will be the one in the showroom showing off the product. And he's like, I want you to be here. I want you to listen to what I'm saying to the customers and learn how to speak to the customers. So I was doing that like the first 2 or 3 weeks where I would show off, hey, these are the products that we have for healthcare, and this is how you work this, and this is the issues we're dealing with asset management. This is how we handle retail stores. And I was just going through the different sectors that we had in the company and learning how to talk to customers. And from there, I'm like, okay, I got enough information. I did my research. I did my UX research. That's essentially what it was. And then I was ready to jump into real design, which was Photoshop at the time.
Okay, so you got your first design job in this way that you just described, which is really awesome. And I really like that story. And you taught yourself these skills by taking like online courses, like Photoshop and other kind of design technologies.
Exactly. I took that time out because I'm like, you know, at the time, I think Sketch was kind of new. So Sketch wasn't the main thing at the time. It was Photoshop. So Photoshop is very, very cluttered. There's a lot of different things to use with Photoshop. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what you guys use to create software? This is horrible, you know? But I had to learn it. And I learned it using Udemy. I learned it using different YouTube tutorials, especially those sped up tutorials. I would go on there and slow down the tutorial. And how they would build out different UIs. And I would just practice over building out the same UI they were building to just learn the tools and learn how to do gradients and learn how to do colors. And really, it was about learning the tool in the beginning. It wasn't about like the how do I link in my psychology knowledge with creating these UI mockups. It was more about how do I make them. And then from there, it was kind of like, okay, how do I make them functional? How do I make sure that, yes, it's visually attractive or the aesthetic is great, but how do I also make it user-friendly? So it graduated as time went on, but it definitely started off with how do I use this tool and how do I make things with this tool?
Right, right. So could we talk about that a bit? Like, what is product design? What is UX design? What is UI design? What is web design? Right? There's all these terms, right? There's all these terms. And there's all these different job titles. And I know there can be tons of overlaps. And it definitely depends on the company that you're working at, what your job title might be. And it could be two different things at two different companies, but you're essentially doing the same thing. Could you just walk us through these different areas of design and what these different things are?
Definitely. So you're right. The design industry, I think we need to understand what we want to call ourselves. I mean, it all started off with like the whole graphic design. So everyone was a graphic designer. Now it's more into the UX, UI product design, and sometimes information architecture, UX research, it keeps going. But we're going to stick to those three, the UX, the UI, and the product. So UX, in my opinion, is the how. And it basically explains the how and the why. So how would this work? Why is it working that way? What is the psychology behind this particular design? So that's the UX. The UI is, what does it look like? When I get to that screen, what visually, like what visual design do I see? What colors do I see? What visual hierarchy do I see? What does it look like? And then the product design is more of the business aspect. What does the business need and what does the user need? And how do I mesh all those things together? Now, product design can be very tricky because it depends on the role that you're in, like Heroku. I work at Heroku, which was acquired by Salesforce. And Heroku's product designers all know how to code. So there's a layer of front-end development that you have to know how to do. And it's called, you know, UX or UI engineering, where you have to understand development because we're working with developers with our platform. So most of our product design is understanding the business need, understanding the user need, but also understanding that area where no one really focuses on. So speed of the website, accessibility of the website, how to code that accessibility and make sure screen readers could pick up, I guess, elements on the page, and really those areas that no one ever thinks of, hovers and things like that. Those are areas of design that most of the time we don't think about as designers. Most of the time the developer thinks about that.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. One of my all-time favorite resources for techies is Interview Cake, a tool that helps you practice technical interview questions so you can land your first or next job in tech. When you join Interview Cake, you get over 50 hours of technical interview practice questions. The questions cover a range of different languages, including Java, Python, and Ruby. You get hints to help you through the process and walkthroughs of the answers you don't understand. Interview Cake has helped people land jobs at Google, Amazon, Apple, and other top companies. What's more, the guys at Interview Cake are so confident that they'll be able to help you that if you don't get the job you go for, they'll give you your money back. You either get a life-changing job or a complete refund. There's seriously nothing to lose. And I've managed to get 20% off the price for Learn to Code With Me podcast listeners via my affiliate link. Just go to learntocodewith.me/cake and the discount will be automatically applied. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/cake. So at the last company I was working at, like, we had product designers and they didn't code. They worked with engineers very closely and all of that, but they weren't actually building the front end. So I think it's really interesting that you as a product designer are building the front end. Would you mind sharing, like, what technologies that you're using?
Definitely. So remember, I'm like 3 months in, so I don't know everything about what Heroku is doing in that aspect. I'm just kind of like navigating the space now because I just got the job. And we should definitely talk about how I got that job, honestly. But yeah. So with Heroku, what we're doing is working on just the HTML and CSS mostly, and understanding how to add accessibility to those measures. There's also an aspect of our components. So we're using Ember and React components that makes up our HIG, which is the Human Interface Guideline. And we're creating this HIG for our front-end developers to just grab the pieces and create our layout. So without having to say, oh, this is this amount of pixels from the left, blah, blah, we create those things. It's like, all right, here is our entire document. Just grab the code and go. Don't worry about, you know, how it looks. We already created the code for it. All you need to do is just grab it and put it in the UI. You make the functions for it. And then we, you know, come back together and talk about how those things all work together and make sure that these are our intentions. And as designers, these are the way these things are supposed to flow. But most of it is just kind of like we create the entire component list and how things look and pass it off to developers to develop.
So I'm just curious, because it's like, this is like so different from like the company that I was working at and how the roles were broken down. But I know, again, as we said, every company is different and titles are different, responsibilities are different. They can overlap and whatnot. So do product designers then, where you're working now, do they actually design the components, or is there like a whole other designer that designs it? Then you build it with like HTML, CSS, and you think about the speed and accessibility, but someone else designs it, or are you doing the design as well?
We're doing the entire thing. And that's what product design really is. Understanding the entire flow of an entire user experience, not just, you know, how it looks, but also how is it functioning, you know? And that's why I love this company so much, because I've been trying to get into a role like this forever. So to be here now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I want to work on this. I want to work on that. I think I'm kind of like stretching myself thin. But to have the possibility to work on different aspects of the component list that we have, designing those things out in Sketch and then going into, you know, Visual Code and coding those things, making sure it's accessibility, meets the web standards and accessibility standards, and then passing it to the developer so they don't have to think about that stuff, and we still own that entire user experience, is everything to me. I love it.
So is there a separate user research team then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do that part, thank goodness.
Because again, I know at some companies, like product designers can be really involved in like user research and user interviews and all of that. But okay, so there's a separate user research team, and they do what they do.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And then they pass that knowledge off to you guys.
Exactly. So right now, because Heroku and Salesforce, how would I describe this? So Salesforce is the umbrella. So it has a lot of brands underneath this entire parent brand, Salesforce. Heroku is its own little island. And for a long time, we've been doing our own user research and things like that. But because we're trying to mesh together and become one brand, we're starting to branch off with the Salesforce UX researchers and explain to them our use case, which sometimes doesn't always come off correctly, because designing for developers and designing for regular users is totally different, you know?
Yeah, that's like such a good point. And you're at Heroku, you're designing for developers.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Whereas I know Salesforce acquires tons of different companies, and I'm sure some are more technical than others. Like the user base is more technical than others. But yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I didn't even really connect like those dots. But yeah, like who you're designing for is so important. But anyway, continue. So
yeah. So like with Salesforce, their users are, they're not really developers. They're just people who use this drag and drop platform that creates apps or applications. Versus with developers, I mean, that's a whole new use case. Developers, what I've noticed with our developers is they will create, let's say the designers broke something and something doesn't work. They will create a runaround or a walk around on that issue and create an entire new flow for themselves to just get through with that. They'll create their own path, their own happy path. So it's kind of like, usually when you have users, they'll call in, complain about it. Developers never complain. They just make a solution, which
yeah,
is bad.
Yeah, that's so funny. Oh my gosh. I actually was doing, at my last job, would do user interviews a lot, and we would watch people use the product. And we would sometimes have people on or do them who were like developers, because you could use the product as a developer, as a regular user, because there was like a power editor anyway. But like watching a developer use it, they were so fast. I couldn't even follow them. They're like, boom, 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 boom. And they had all these, they would like build things on top of it. And I was like, yes. How the hell did they just do that? I was like, no, it's like, it is like not a normal like user,
no.
Like the norm, like, you know, like the average person watching them use it is so different than watching a, developer use something. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like Salesforce, the UX researchers, can't always help us. They can do certain things, but sometimes I feel like we probably need to still own that space a lot more than we are currently, because they only know the normal user versus our users are just totally like left field for them.
Yeah, so, like a Salesforce user could be like an account manager or a Salesforce,
yes.
Right? Salesforce. And
yes,
you guys are,
exactly.
Yeah, your users are, like engineers or startup CTOs or something. So Yeah, that's really interesting. So I definitely would love to get into how you got this job at Heroku. You said it was an interesting story and you just got it fairly recently. So could you share a bit about that?
Definitely. So social media, having a personal brand is basically the story. So I went to this conference called AfroTech last year. And oh my gosh, it was so amazing. I've never been at a tech conference like that ever, where it was just hip hop and R&B playing in the background. And when people will come on the stage and talk about code, they'll come on a hip hop song, as you everyone knows. And it's just like a family kind of environment where there were people that looked like you that was just coding and making things. Because usually, you know, in the tech industry right now, it's only like 2% of African Americans or Black people in the tech atmosphere. So to go to that event and see so many, I'm like, what pipeline problem? You know, like, what are they talking about? There's so many of us. So yeah, it was amazing to be around it, but also just to experience it was phenomenal in my opinion, because I never did it before. But I met this guy, his name was Devaris. And we follow each other on Instagram. I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, oh, this guy, he's a great person that works at Microsoft right now. All right, cool. I'll follow him. So a year later, I think I started posting things about design and what I'm doing and all the different illustrations I was creating and how that could help the user. And he's like, hey, Lenore, are you looking for a job right now? And I'm like, I'm working somewhere, but I mean, I'll entertain it, you know? And he's like, yeah, Heroku's looking for a new product designer and it's going to be remote. The company's in San Francisco. You can work anywhere you want, but they're really looking for someone in the U.S. They're really looking for a female. And I'm like, oh, okay. I would put in my resume. He's like, no, where's your portfolio? And I'm like, no, about that. I need to fix it or finish it. He's like, no, do it tonight. I'm going to send over your name and come in for, you know, do an interview online. And did that interview. I spoke with my current boss, Roberta, and she's like, oh my gosh, I want you to meet everybody. So next thing you know, I was in like interview with four other people and talking about my experience as a designer. And long story short, I got the job like 3 months ago and it's been amazing working here.
That's awesome. And I love like the portfolio bit, like you're like Googling like how to make a product design portfolio, yes. Like YouTube in 6 hours, right? Kind of like your first job, like learning Photoshop, like once you already got the interview. That's really great though. So that's awesome. And I didn't realize it was remote too. And I know there's a lot of folks who listen to the show who want to work remote. How is that going?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's amazing. I get to work anywhere. Like last week, I decided to do a get my ish together weekend where I went to a place in Naples and just stayed there for like a week just to focus on other things and not having to be in Miami. And I was able to still work. And there's so many times where I'll be like, yeah, you know, I need a break. And they're like, what do you mean? Be here tomorrow at, you know, 9 o'clock. And I'm like, I don't like to go to work. I just like to wake up and turn on my computer. This is so much easier. You meet a lot of people this way as well, because there's so many people that's also remote. So you have to be present and in the moment and always down to have like a FaceTime or a Google Hangout just to talk about different products. So you're able to touch the entire company without having to see them face to face all the time, which isn't bad. I do travel to San Francisco quite a bit. And when we do see each other, it's like, hi, oh my God, I haven't seen you in years. You know, I mean, for me, it's like, I haven't seen you in a month, you know, but yeah, it's awesome. I think having a remote team, understanding the dynamics of time zones. And once you get over that, everything else is just a breeze. We have a lot of time to really work on products.
Oh, that's awesome. And we don't have too much time. There's a few more things I want to ask you. So I'm going to move a little quickly here. But what advice do you have for someone listening who wants to pursue product design or a related field?
So I would definitely say use online resources. That's what I did. To learn as much as you can. Learning the tools first and then going more into the how, the why, the visual design. My main place that I go to is Twitter, honestly. Twitter and YouTube. So Refactoring UI is probably one of my favorite places to go to get design inspiration. Because Refactoring UI discusses how to think about design from a development standpoint. And I think that's really beneficial for all designers. So there, Udemy is another place, Lynda. I also use YouTube quite a bit, podcast. There's a few, I better speed up. But anyway, there's a few like podcasts that I'll probably send to you just so you'll be able to send it out. But yeah, there's a few design podcasts that I really, really love. DesignBetter.co is probably my favorite one. And just learning from the industry leaders is probably the main thing that I would say to start doing.
And then, I think we'll definitely include links to these things in the show notes. And if you send me them after this interview, I can throw them in the show notes, and listeners can go there on the website and find all that. Now, as far as getting a job goes, like a design job, what advice do you have for that?
So I really think my personal brand and my portfolio has really set me apart. And always talking about what I'm doing, like my design work on Medium and things like that, became a portfolio for me. So I would definitely say to get a job in this industry, go to networking events for sure. Go to events that's online. There's a lot of networking events that's online. I know it's kind of weird, but it's like on Hangouts where you can just go in there and say, hi, I'm whoever, and I'm just here for to learn about design from you guys. There's a lot of different areas where you could go to San Francisco conferences right from your computer, not having to move anywhere. And then following up with those people on LinkedIn. So yeah, Meetup, Eventbrite, going to different conferences really works. What else? I guess Indeed and LinkedIn is probably one of your best choices. So looking on the job listings there, applying, speaking to the recruiters, going to the hiring manager and say, hi, you know, I just applied for blah, blah, blah job. And I want to know more about the role. So making sure that you follow up, do a lot of interactions with people can really help you land a job in the industry.
Yeah, I loved one of the things you said earlier, like right when we started chatting, about how you had to use your, I think it was like, I had to use my personality instead of my talent or something when you got your first design job. And I think a ton of guests I've had on the show have said the same thing. Like they relied heavily on their personality, on engaging with people, on being communicative and putting themselves out there. And I think you're just a great example of that working and in the design space, because a lot of the people I spoke to said that they've been working as software engineers or QA testers or something, but same thing can apply to working on a design team.
Definitely. Totally agree with that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure to have you. Where can people find you online?
So my website is lenoraporter.com. My Twitter is lenoraporter_, and Instagram is lenora.porter. Those are all the places you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you missed any of that or would like a recap, the show notes for this episode can be found at learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you're listening to this episode in the future, simply click the search icon in the upper site navigation and type in Lenora's name. If you're a new listener, the best way to stay up to date with all that we're doing at Learn to Code with Me is by getting on our email list. We're going to be doing a lot of awesome things in 2019. You definitely don't want to miss out. You can join the list easily by going to learntocodewith.me and signing up. You'll see the form at the top of the homepage. And this way, you'll just stay up to date with everything like the special promotions and the new content that we put out. And if you're a regular listener, please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You can do that at learntocodewith.me/pledge. There are lots of goodies available as my thanks to you. See you next week.